So the moose harvest in Haines this year is once again the banner moose population for Southeast.
The local moose hunt closes with 21 bulls so far. And Fire Prevention Week gives Haines families a chance to practice surviving an emergency situation. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories after this news. The Forest Service is studying Southeast Alaska's economic potential to identify projects that will create jobs. The agency Thursday announced it's providing a $240,000 grant to map the region's assets. The Juneau Economic Development Council will conduct the research. Executive Director Brian Holtz discussed plans at a Ketchikan press conference.
We have aspirations here about our future, and a careful analysis of what our assets are will allow us to understand what we are missing in order for us to be able to achieve our goals.
The region has lost residents and jobs due to changes in the timber and fishing industries. Small communities have been particularly hard hit. Holz says planning will help identify what can be done to encourage growth.
We've offered to the Forest Service is really focused on cluster development, and that is understanding those industries in our region that drive growth and focus on those industries. Because if the industries that create jobs are doing well, and everything else tends to follow.
Forest Service and rural development officials say the research will help determine which projects to fund, but they're already making some of those decisions. The study was one of seven projects announced Thursday. Another is a $200,000 grant to support a career and technical school being developed by the Ketchikan Indian Corporation. Department of Agriculture Rural Development official Keith Perkins says the planning money comes on top of $3 million in construction financing.
The end result, the net result of that project is going to be training to hopefully place people, put them to work.
A $1.6 million grant will go to Annette Island Packing, a seafood processor in Metlakatla. Perkins says it'll support innovative construction.
The essence of the seafood worker housing program project would be a building that is green. It's a new aspect of our multifamily housing programs. It's looking at projects that can be self-contained, essentially, in terms of their energy efficiency.
Perkins and regional forester Beth Pendleton says the new projects and others announced earlier will help boost the region's economy. Other new federally funded projects include a $19.5 million loan towards construction of a new hospital in Wrangell. It also won a $100,000 grant for a community garden greenhouse, a $200,000 grant to help Petersburg build and furnish an energy-efficient library, and a $67,000 grant to help Wrangell purchase automation equipment for its library. This year's moose hunt closed Thursday night with a total of 20 bulls, a harvest consistent with the last 15 years in the area. Anthony Krupe, biologist with Fish and Game, gave a wrap-up of the hunt in the Northern Lynn Canal Game Management Area known as Unit 1D. It runs from Eldred Rock north up to the Canadian border, with a majority of harvested moose coming from up the Chilkat River.
And this year we had a successful hunt, right on average with the last 15 years or so. We've had 20 bulls harvested. Of that, the antler configuration breaks down to 5 spike forks, 8 moose with 3 brow tines, 4 moose greater than 50-inch spread, and this year we had 3 illegals. The good news is that all the meat was distributed and all of the illegal moose were turned in. We had 2 moose that had only 2 brow tines and 1 with a 48-inch spread.
The number of illegal bulls could change when ongoing investigations conclude. However, Krupe says this year, hunters were better at identifying legal bulls in the field than last year. In 2009, 4 out of 19 bulls were illegal. One of those was found abandoned in the field. Nonetheless, he believes if more people attend the moose meeting before the 2011 season opens, that number of illegals would drop.
Hunters did a good job identifying legal moose this year. Next year, we hope to have a few more people come to the meeting to take a better look at what constitutes 3 brow tines. We had 2 moose turned in with only 2 brow tines and 1 moose that didn't reach 50 inches.
Data available for the last 5 years shows that antler configurations for this year are consistent with the recent past.
Usually we get about 7 spike forks, 8 with 3 brow tines, around 4 greater than 50 inches, and we average about 2.5 illegals.
Compared to last year, this year's hunt brought in one more spike fork, two fewer moose with three brow tines, and three more with racks wider than 50 inches. Biologists say that last number indicates there are a lot of older animals in the population. Illegals also went down by one this year. New last year was a targeted study on the age of bulls brought in, Kruppi explains.
Take the two front teeth from the moose that get turned in, and we send them off to a lab down south, the Mattson lab, to come up with ages, and we were able to just quickly summarize some of the data for 2009. So in the 2009 harvest, we have those teeth back for to compare our antler configurations to our age. Last year, the 50-inch antler that was turned in was 7 years old. The spike forks averaged about 1.5 years of age, and the three brow tines were about 4.5 years of age.
He added that mean age was about 3.5 years over the last 5 years. Fish and Game uses those numbers to figure a relationship between antler configuration and age to make sure they're targeting the correct part of the population during the harvest.
Hence this selective antler strategy, which really seems to be working for the Upper Lincoln Elk.
Compared to other hunts in Southeast, Haines area brought in the most bulls, and the few illegal kills left in the field were not here this year. However, some of the hunts further south are still open.
So the moose harvest in Haines this year is once again the banner moose population for Southeast. The Taku has had 7 bulls that have come out. The Chilcats have 8 moose that have been harvested to date. And Gustavus, which also has a restricted antler hunt, have 13 moose that were harvested, and the season is now closed.
Biologists will conduct the annual moose count survey here. Biologists will conduct the annual moose count survey here sometime in November when there's about a foot of snow on the ground. Until then, they're relying on the data collected by plane last fall.
The moose herd in Haines is doing really well. Everything seems to be on average with previous years, and it's amazing how stable this herd tends to be. Over the last 20 years of surveys, we come up seeing somewhere about 200 animals right on par with what we saw last year. The bull-to-cow ratios for the moose herd in Upper Lynn Canal was 30 bulls per 100 cows last year, which is just above the 30 to 100 cow average over the long term since the early 80s. Calf percentage was right on par with previous years. We had 16% of the population surveyed were calves, and it indicates really good survival for next year's moose hunt.
The Board of Game meets in Ketchikan in early November. There are currently no proposals on the agenda that would affect the local moose hunt. The permit application period for the next year's moose season is open November through December. More details at hunt.alaska.gov. Following the close of moose season, one more legal bull with a forked antler configuration came into Fish and Game, bringing the total to 21 moose. Hunters have until Sunday to bring in their moose to the station at the Haines Highway Junction. The Skagway Borough finalized municipal elections results Thursday night, counting 92 more ballots than were part of the preliminary count announced Tuesday night. The new count did not change the preliminary seatings, which handed 2 assembly seats to Paul Reichert and Mike Korsmo. The updated numbers show Reichert with 269 votes, or 69% of the vote, and Korsmo with 259 votes, or 67%. The voter turnout percentage changed significantly with consideration of the nearly 100 absentee ballots. It jumped from 30% earlier this week to 40% in the end. Haines finalizes their municipal election results on Tuesday.
Hey, Ryan.
Fire doesn't discriminate. That's why kids and adults alike take part in the annual Fire Prevention Week activities at the Haines Volunteer Fire Department.
Good morning, everyone.
Fire Prevention Week has been originated from the Great Chicago Fire. They were trying to figure out what they could do to try to alleviate fires in people's homes and trying to do what they could to prevent fires from happening in the first place. So in Haines here, we're trying to, you know, offer some opportunities for people to participate in some events that maybe they have never done before, or, you know, one of the things is it's kind of a refresher each year.
Training Officer Al Badgley led school kids from around the Chilkat Valley through fire safety talks and workshops with the Haines kids in the fire hall on Friday. The kids from the Haines School also had a chance to learn more about other types of prevention by getting a tour of the ambulance and some of the readings that can be taken in it, like temperature and blood pressure.
You're one, you're 2 degrees slower than me.
My temperature is on a
The Fire Prevention Open House for Adults and Kids runs Friday, October 8th from 3 to 6 p.m. People can practice free safety activities like using an actual fire extinguisher and climbing on a window escape ladder, this time using a safety harness.
The third one that we work on is dealing with a smoke room. We have an artificial smoke maker. You probably see them in a lot of performances and stuff like that. Basically have people sitting in a room, like a bedroom, it's a makeshift bedroom, and then we'll have smoke build up outside that bedroom, and then all of a sudden the smoke alarm will go off, and then you open the door, and there's no heat because there's not heat with this type of smoke, but we say, well, we're going to crawl under this smoke and see what it's like.
The fire department says it's beneficial to practice these activities since every second counts in a fire emergency. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News. Thanks for listening.